You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show, unless otherwise stated, do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today I'm going to give you a small update of the Al Sharpton story that I was discussing and commenting upon yesterday. It seems that Reverend Al had a press conference today, and he said he was not a rat, he was a cat. A cat. Yes, a cat on a hot tin roof, because what it's come out is in detail in a number of news stories, and they're based on a FBI documents that were released under the Freedom of Information Act, that for several years Reverend Al was confidential informant number 7. Now, Reverend Al at the press conference said he wasn't aware he was an informant. Do you believe that? Because most people that are snitches, ratting out people, know they're informants. Most are paid. He also claims he wasn't paid. He says he was just doing his civic duty, that he was threatened by mob people and went to the police. And that was the reason why he gave additional information both to the FBI and the police, because the FBI wanted to get recordings of these mobsters, New York mob. If you're familiar with New York, there are several crime families or organized crime families in the New York area. And the FBI wanted to get on tape, namely recordings of the various crime families threatening him. Now, that's Reverend Al's story. The problem is, if you read the news accounts, again, based on the FBI documents, that's not really how it happened. You see, the FBI had another underground police officer that approached Reverend Al about a drug deal, and he was looking to buy $35,000 worth of cocaine, and made the point that anyone that could assist him to do that would get a 10% finder's fee. And Reverend Al made the comment, well, the people that he dealt with would want more than 10%. I don't think that's enough to put someone in jail. But when he was confronted by these recordings of this meeting, he was flipped by the FBI. And what I mean flipped by, he agreed to have, for example, his telephone at home record conversations, incoming conversations. Reverend Al was afraid that they would prosecute him. That's why he agreed for several years to make tape recordings and provide information to the FBI as well as the New York Police Department. So we're not really getting the entire picture. Probably never will, because this is over almost 30 years old. This happened in the early to mid-80s. So this is a rather old news story. Now, he claims this is just to attack him. The problem is Reverend Al has lost credibility with most people a long time ago. I know he has his own radio show, and I know he's on television, but look at the ratings. You don't have millions of people listening or watching. And who knows why this story came out now? I don't. Not much interested in it, except for one thing. Reverend Al, as well as other people that are in the political arena, especially those that believe that the ends justify the means, lie. Repeatedly lie. Over and over and over again lie. And the question becomes, what do you do? Whether they're lying about you or lying about, for example, Obamacare. Do you just sit back and ignore it? That's one approach. And many people that are in the public arena, whether it's on television or radio or the entertainment business, the conventional wisdom is let it just run off your back. Don't respond to it, because if you responded to it, you're going to just attract more people repeating the lie. That is definitely one school of thought. And the liars count on that, because that gives the lie credibility, especially if it's repeated and repeated and repeated day after day after day by the news media. Now, on this show in the past, I've gone over many of the big lies, not small lies, not white lies, big lies of Barack Obama. The biggest one, by far, number one on the charts and holding its own, is that if you like your health insurance plan, you can keep your health insurance plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And your premiums will be going down. That was the message, repeated and repeated after repeated, over 24 times in large public gatherings where the president was speaking. Now, why was this and that phraseology used over and over again? Was it an accident? No, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't. Those words were tested by a focus group, and it played very, very, very well. That's why it was repeated. Why we were in an election campaign. Why at the very time that these speeches were being said, what was the Department of Health and Human Resources doing? Preparing regulations that made it impossible for people to keep their plan. And what's happened is millions of people that were totally satisfied with their health insurance, starting last fall, got letters in the mail from their insurance company that because of the law passed by only Democrats and signed by the president, they were going to lose their existing plan, that people spent the time and energy finding one that was appropriate for their needs and wants and something that they can afford, that they were losing. What they were being told is, again, by the president, that the Affordable Care Act provided a much better plan for you. It included 10 categories of benefits that are not in those substandard plans. Now, there's a certain amount of arrogance about that, and it's very much like, we know what's best for you. And it's an invasion of consumer sovereignty. The government was telling the insurance companies, which in turn are telling you, this is what has to be in your plan, period. Remember that phrase? Period. You can keep your plan, period. You can keep your doctor, period. Well, they were telling you what these plans had to have. And as a result, you were finding out when you went online, when you could get online, which is still a risky proposition. There's a security problem with the healthcare.gov. There still is. It's only a matter of time before you're going to hear the stories of your identity and your information being used against you by crooks. But that will wait until next year. But it's only a matter of time, because why? There are people out there that prey on people that are trying to get information on you, some key information besides just name and social security number. And the more information they can gather, and you got to remember, it's not just the information that you input on that healthcare.gov site, because on the back end, this website is connected to a number of databases from the IRS, Social Security Administration, and others, and they need to do that to see whether or not you qualify first for Medicaid if you're too poor, or subsidies. So it's a big attractive target for people that like to break in to computer systems and get that information, because once they have that information and they're stealing your identity, they can use your identity to borrow money. And you suddenly find out, usually by accident, when some mail comes your way, that you owe money for something you know nothing about. And one of the major crimes today in the United States is identity theft and the consequences of it. But that is just one of the potential and very, very real dangers of enrolling in Obamacare over going through the healthcare.gov network on the website. And there's been testimony in front of Congress, and this was as recent as late January, that they hadn't completed the back end. And the reason why it's critical is you don't have insurance unless you pay for it. So the first key problem that they have is they don't really know who's paid for it. Yeah, they have 7 million people enrolled, but somewhere between 1 and 2 million, or if not more, have not paid for it. It's just like you applying for automobile insurance and not paying for it. Well, you're never going to get a policy issued to you. They'll issue it, but they'll immediately cancel when they don't receive the money. Insurance companies are not charities. It's a business. It's a contract. And one of the parts of the contract is you have to pay monthly premiums. And if you don't, then you don't have insurance. It's rather surprising that a system would be set up where they could not monitor that and make sure that didn't happen, but it is happening. But let's say you paid for it and the insurance company got the money for it. What's the problem? It's a big problem. Let's say you get sick. What are you going to find? Most people today, they have insurance in the past through their group, have $100 deductibles, $250 deductibles. Some have $500 and in some cases higher. but most are under $1,000. The only ones that have really deductibles greater than $1,000 are people that their employer offers a health savings account and people are saving to pay for the small medical bills. That's a significant portion, but it's still a minority of the plans out there have that. The people that have it really like it because if they're not sick, they can save a lot of money, both in the premiums they have to pay. It keeps the premiums down that they have, and that's great, especially when you compare it with Obamacare. And they have catastrophic coverage. Now, that's the old system, and that's what many people preferred and liked. They had a plan that they were satisfied with, that they can afford, and they had a doctor they could go to. And they wanted and thought they could keep their plan, they could keep their doctor, and now they're finding out and have found out they can't. Now, more and more people that are on small employees, small in terms of number of employees, are now finding that their premiums are going to be going up, again, because of Obamacare. Part of it is due, the reason why you're going to pay a lot more in premiums is the fact you have a lot of more benefits that have been loaded on. It's like buying a car and getting it fully loaded. Most people don't need a fully loaded with the deluxe package on it, especially if you just need basic transportation. They don't want all the bells and whistles. But the government is, by God, because we know better, we're going to load the plans with this, all these benefits. Some you might not need. If you're a male, I don't think you need maternity. If you're single, I don't think you need a child care, medical care. But that's just the first problem is the premiums. But by far the bigger problem is the deductibles. Many of the people that are rolling are going to be either in the bronze or the silver plans. They typically have deductibles of, on the low side of $2,500, but most of them, it's $3,500 or more, and that's per person. So if you're a husband and wife, let's say you enroll in the bronze plan, not only are your premiums higher, your deductibles are higher. And the reason why that's important, many people that enroll in either the bronze or silver plans can't afford the gold or platinum. And if they can't afford it, where do you think they're going to be when the doctor says, well, yeah, we verified you have health insurance, but if you want this procedure, you're going to have to pay the deductible up front before we treat you. And that's $3,500. And you tell the doctor, I can't pay that. I don't have the money. I don't make enough money. You see, what the president does not say and does not want to discuss is the fact that the premiums for these plans are significantly higher, but even way higher, like 3-5 times or more higher, is the deductibles. Now, it gets back to my point. How do you deal with someone who truly believes that what he's doing is right, and because of that, he can lie to you? That's what it means when you say that the ends justify the means. Our ends are good. And because we know you never vote for it or approve it, we're going to have to deceive you by lying to you. And that is exactly what happened. And he was successful. He was successful at it. Got reelected, didn't he? Do you think if he hadn't said it, he would have? If he really told everybody that your premiums are going to go up, not down, he actually said for a family of four, your premiums should go down about $2,500. Instead, they're going up, and your deductibles are going up. And add insult to injury, most people are finding out right now, especially if they have to go to the doctor, that their doctor that they've been going to for many years, whether it's 5, 10, 15 years or longer, is not in the network. And the hospital that's would be convenient to go to, namely it's in the vicinity of where you live, is also not in the network. So not only do you not keep your plan and not keep your doctor and have to pay higher premiums and higher deductibles, the president is saying, well, the Republicans don't want you to have health insurance and don't have any new ideas. That's another lie. You got to recognize he's an habitual serial liar. And you got to point it out. And that's the point. You don't let people get away with telling untruths, misrepresenting the facts. You point it out. And if it means pointing it out over and over again, every time he does it, you do that. Otherwise, he gets away with it. And the echo chamber out there is the television networks that let him get away with it. Repeat the lie. That's why he was successful getting reelected. Now that people are finding out that they were lied to, they're not very happy. Matter of fact, they're mad. They're steamed because this is messing up their financial planning. Their budgeting. It's costing them a lot more money, a lot more money. And many of them can't go to the doctor of their choice anymore. They're not happy campers. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why many Democrats are not running for re-election this year, because they know that the Republicans will definitely keep control of the House and most likely will gain enough seats in the Senate to also control the Senate. And many Democrats that are used to being chairman of committees have decided that it's time to retire. Many of them know that they probably couldn't get reelected because the American people maybe are slow, but they're not stupid. And they wake up to the fact that they've been had. They've been manipulated, lied to, and the facts of the situation have been misrepresented to them. And one of the leading cheerleaders of President Obama is Reverend Al, who has the same problem. Reverend Al has very little credibility with most Americans. He has a very checkered past, to put it diplomatically. And he has made it very clear on 60 Minutes, he's not going to be critical of President Obama, even when he's wrong. Those are the president's friends. Man, with friends like that, who needs enemies? What we're having, I believe it's tonight, a dinner. Reverend Al has an organization. I believe it's the National Alliance. I'm trying to think of the name. It should come to me, but yes. The National Action Network, NAN, National Action Network. Now, it relies on charitable contributions, and many people have given contributions to this organization. But what we're having in New York City is the president is going to give the keynote speech. And at least three cabinet members are also going to be in attendance, as well as the mayor of New York City. You see, the Democrats know that they need to touch base and have Reverend Al on their side. And you better believe Reverend Al uses that to get contributions. Now, I have no problem with any organization soliciting funds if that's how they're going to operate. The problem is he's using this to perpetuate more lies. Reverend Al is a big supporter of Barack Obama. He has a platform, namely a radio talk show as well as a television show. And on those shows, he's continually, and I don't watch them, but I do look at selections of them, misrepresenting what's going on. I think once President Obama is out of office, Reverend Al better watch his back. Because I'm from New York, and I'll tell you one thing, you do not want to mess with organized crime. Even though many of them have been thrown in jail and are now dead, they have a long memory. They don't like to be crossed. They certainly don't want informants giving information of their operations. So Reverend Al may be a cat, but he's a cat on a hot tin roof because the truth's out. You see, I have no problem with anyone in any community going to the police or the FBI if they have information pertaining to crime in their neighborhood. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I would encourage it. And if I had it, I would do so. But that is and that situation is a lot different than if you're captioned on tape or worse, even on video, either engaging in or very close to criminal activity. And I think Reverend Al, he might not have been paid. That's probably the truth. He wasn't paid. I don't know. He wasn't paid in terms of paying cash. He was paid in the fact that the Department of Justice, the U.S. Attorney, didn't go after him based on the information they already had. In other words, Reverend Al turned. He gave people up. Now, it happens all the time. That's more or less standard operating procedures amongst police departments as well as the FBI. You have a choice. You either turn state's evidence, in other words, you tell us what you know and we won't prosecute you, but you're either going to have to testify or provide us information. In other words, you're going to have to become an informant, a confidential informant, and we'll try to protect you as long as you provide us information that's valuable. And apparently for at least several years, Reverend Al was a very good informant, very good informant. But do you think it was motivated about keeping drugs out of the black community? No, it wasn't. He was motivated keeping his you-know-what out of jail or prison. Reverend Al was running scared, scared that they would prosecute him and put him in prison. But this is the president's buddy. This is where the president will be speaking shortly and giving a keynote speech in support of Reverend Al and his organization. But the bigger picture is, what do you need to do? What do you do, and why do you need to do it? They're never going to like you, folks. The people that truly believe, and they're mainly collectivists, and collectivists, they're different types, but the point is, they want to be in power. They want to stay in power. And they will do and say virtually anything to make that happen. And if that means misleading you, deceiving you, lying to you, they will do it in a New York minute. They lack integrity. They're essentially corrupt. We have a very much a corrupt administration, and their lies are being called out. And the more people that call them out on it, the less effective is the president. That's why I point out every time he does it, I make sure it's part of this show. You don't sit back and let people get away with it, because it only encourages them. Now, what they try to do to the people that disagree with them, but I wanted to give you that update. I wanted you at least to hear what Reverend Al said at a press conference today. It's in all the New York papers, by the way. He's in the cover of the Daily News and the New York Post. Front cover with a big picture. See, they know Reverend Al in New York. He really lacks credibility there. I'm not going to get into his background. I have, though, and I need to say this. If you want additional information on Reverend Al, as well as additional videos, as well as listen to this show, go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops.wordpress.com. pronkpops.wordpress.com. And what I would urge you to do is, if you have time, look at some of the videos I've posted, both for this show and last show. And I also have included in this show a little from Wikipedia, some of the highlights of Reverend Al's career, if you want to call it that. Was I surprised that Reverend Al was a confidential informant for the FBI? No. You see, where this really hurts him is it confirms just one more time that this is not a person you want to be dealing with. And I'm amazed that the President of the United States has him as a friend. Not surprised that he does, but it's someone I wouldn't have as a friend or associated in any way. Now, there are many people that have met Reverend Al. He's a very charming person, very personable, and they'll say, I like the guy. I like the guy. That may be true, and I think it is true. But do you trust the guy? It's not whether you like the guy. It's whether you trust the guy, whether you can believe what he says. And Reverend Al has a track record that's really unbelievable. And I'll let you make up your own mind by following and listening to some of these videos as well as the background. They know him in New York, but outside of New York, they only hear what he says. You're listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Now back to the music.